we are going to get into the Word of God. I love the Word of God, and I know you guys do too. And of course, we're continuing looking at our Harmony of the Gospels this year. And this weekend, we're going to look at a story out of Mark chapter 2. In fact, it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But we're going to read from Mark chapter 2 in just a few moments. And then you guys are going to read this story in detail in your reading this coming week. So, you know, I love to do this because I think we need to get active when we read the Word of God. So would you do me the favor of turning to Mark chapter 2? And whilst you do that, let's all stand. You're going to stand. Sandra's onto it. And we're going to read the Word of God together. So Mark chapter 2. If you don't have your Bibles, that's all good. We've got our screens. It's going to come up on our screens in just a moment. Mark chapter 2. In fact, let's all read it from the screen. So we're all reading together. Is that good? Let's read from the screens. Here we go, reading out all aloud. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get to him, Jesus, because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Lord God, we just thank you for your words. Lord, I pray that tonight you would transform hearts and you would renew our minds in your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, church. What a story we have just read. Incredible. So here we have Jesus ministering in a house. It says he's preaching the word in a house. And interestingly, church, the likelihood is most biblical scholars agree that this is actually Jesus' own house that he is ministering out of. Now, I hadn't seen this before until this week. I'd read this passage many, many times, but I'd never seen it before. But we see in verse 1, it says, when the people heard that he had come home, it literally means come home to his house. And I don't know why I hadn't gone there in my thoughts before, because it makes sense, doesn't it? Here's Jesus, a carpenter. Why wouldn't he have his own house? Why do we sort of, I don't know if anyone else is in the same boat as me, but why do we think that Jesus is kind of like this nomad just wandering around all these different towns without a house? He had a house. And yes, he went and ministered to many different towns, but here in Capernaum, this is his house and this is like his home base. And some of the other disciples had houses here as well. And it brings a little bit more light then to verse 5, which we just read, where he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Meaning that we just read that the four men just dug through Jesus's roof. Come on, we got to read this. They just dug through his roof and Jesus says, "Son, your sins for destroying my roof are forgiven. I release you." But here we are in Capernaum, and I looked up where Capernaum is, it sounds like a nice place. You see, it's located just on the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee. Okay, so on the northern edge, we got some, I'm making this up, but we got some nice beaches, and it kind of reminds me of maybe the Bayside suburbs of Israel. Yeah, that's a nice place to live. So here we have Jesus. Now, who else do we have in the house? Let's think about this. We're going to get into this story deep tonight. So we've got Jesus in the house. Who else have we got in the house? Call it out. Who else have we got? Disciples. We've got some disciples. That's correct. Who else is in the house? Pharisees in the house. Very good. Anyone else? Who else is in the house? Some kids. Yeah, I'm sure there were some kids. Who else? Lots of people. Well done, Amy Partridge. Lots of people. Lots and lots of local people in the house. We said it was crammed full of people. Now, interestingly, with the Pharisees, in Luke, if you read this story in the Gospel of Luke, it actually expands it a little bit more. And it says that the Pharisees came from Galilee, which is the local region. They came from Judea and Jerusalem. Now, I looked up where Jerusalem was, and it's actually 130 kilometers south of Capernaum. That is a long way to walk up to hear Jesus. Why did the Pharisees travel 130 Ks to hear Jesus preaching from his house? I believe they were there to listen to him, to examine him, and ultimately to contradict him to the law. You see, they were there because they didn't believe that he could possibly be the Son of God, like Jesus was expanding this, that he was the Son of God. They couldn't believe that. And they were there to basically get followers onto their side to say, this man's rubbish. He doesn't know what he's talking about, and we can prove it because this is the law. And we're kind of like the religious professionals of the day. That's why the Pharisees were there. They were trying to contradict Jesus. And then, of course, we read in the story, we have these four men carrying a paralytic into Jesus's house. And tonight I'd love to spend some time really focusing on these four men. We don't know their names. We don't know really anything about them, but let's go a little bit deeper. Can we go on a bit of a journey tonight and really look into who these four men are? So what we're going to do is we're going to somewhat illustrate this story. Now, Pastor Rob, you'll be pleased to know we're not going to break down any ceiling in here tonight. It's all good. But we are going to illustrate this. So I've got some four men, mighty men of God. I'm going to call them out right now. If you guys want to come out, come on, let's put our hands together for these four mighty men of God. Here they come. Ah, you see, we need a paralyzed man. So Tim's going to be paralyzed tonight. We'll pray for him later. But Tim's going to lie down. Yeah, put your hands together for Tim. Come on. So here they are, the four mighty men of God. No, they've got to stay in there. We can see them. Just stand in for a minute. They're very eager to do their job, but let's have a chat. So here we go. Let's go. Let's have a look at this. Let's have a look at this story. So our fearless leader here, Will. Will's our leader. Will realizes he gets word on the grapevine that Jesus has come home. Will also lives in Capernaum. Jesus has come home. So that morning, he's like, you know what? I got a little bit of faith. I got faith to believe that my mate Tim, who's paralyzed, if I can just somehow get him into the presence of Jesus, I believe that Jesus can touch him and heal him. So our fearless leader, Will, conjures up a bit of a plan in his head. He says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go around to Tim's house. I'm going to carry him all the way to Jesus' house. Now, Will is a unit. I'm sure you'll agree. He's a big man. But by himself, come on, why is that funny? No, you're a big man. It's okay. But by himself, he's going to struggle to carry Tim all the way. So he gets on the phone and he says, hey, Jim, hey, Jacob, hey, JP, Triple J, let's go around and we've got this plan. I want to take Tim, our paralyzed friend, into the presence of God because I believe that something's going to happen miraculous in his life today. So these guys are all excited about it and they all go around to Tim's house. They see him lying on the floor there and they excitedly say, hey, Tim, today's your day. We're going to do this. We're going to take you into the presence of Jesus. Now, Tim's a little bit skeptical, but he goes along with the plan. So the guys come to his house and they pick him up. Here we go. Very carefully. He's paralyzed, remember. And they start making their way through the streets of Capernaum to Jesus. So they're traveling down the streets. Now, as they're walking, other people in the houses, you guys are in the houses, they look out their window and they see this walking past and they think, wow, church has changed. No, but there's a bit of heckling going on. So feel free to maybe heckle them a bit. What are you doing? Maybe you can kind of give them a bit of a greasy as they walk past. What are these guys doing with this poor man? They're walking through the streets and they get around halfway there and they start to realize that, hey, this is actually going to cost us some time and it's going to cost us some energy because he's starting to get quite heavy right now. So our four masculine men are starting to work up a bit of a sweat. They keep going through the crowd and then the closer they get to Jesus's house, the crowd gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and so much so they have to yell out, make way for the sick. And you know, there's a few compassionate people that maybe let them through a little bit further, but ultimately they're struggling to get into the house where Jesus is preaching. So they get right out to the front of Jesus' house right here and they can't get in. So our fearless leader, Will, has a great idea again. He says, let's go around the back of the house. Same problem. But then he comes up with his best plan of the day. He says, let's go up onto the roof. Come on. This is the roof up here now. Now, like any good Eastern home, they all had external staircases. So now we are up onto the roof. Well done, boys. They are actually working up a sweat. This is good. Yeah, that deserves a round. So, now they're on the roof. That's great. But Jesus is down below ministering and teaching. So what do they do now? What do? They break through. So here they are, the four men. They're going to start breaking through tiles, they're going to start breaking through the roof up here. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine it? Breaking through. Now I'm coming down here. Now, you guys are in the house. We're in the house down here and we're listening to this banging and crashing going on. You're thinking, what on earth is going on above our heads up in the roof? And from down here, we might be yelling out abuse. Hey! Yeah, who said that? Hey, be quiet. Yeah.
Shush.
Yeah, shush. Come on, who's got some better abuse than that?
Yeah.
No, that's dangerous. That's dangerous, Jacob. But downstairs, you're wondering, what is going on this roof? It's just bang, crash. And then suddenly, all this debris and dust and dirt and roof tiles all just falls in to where you guys are sitting in this room. And you see these four lovely faces just kind of poking over the edge of this hole. And you look up and you're like, what is going on? And then instead of just dropping their friend down, our fearless leader, Will, again, he scurries off the roof and he finds some rope just lying around on the ground and they tie Tim with some rope and they carefully lower him and lower him and lower him down into the presence of Jesus. Yeah, let's put him down there. We get this on camera. He's in the house. Kind of looks like a bit of a coffin, doesn't it? But let's just go with it. He's in the house. Are you all right down there, Timmy Boy? Just. He's got enough air. It's all good. All right, come on. Let's put our hands together for these guys. They're doing a great job. Come on, mate. Be healed in Jesus' name. The miraculous power is here, church. He just stood up and walked. Well done, boys. Now, we did that because I wanted to illustrate. Now, we're going to have a bit of fun with that, but this is actually what happened. Like, sometimes, I don't know if you do this, but especially Bible verses you've read many times, some of you can just gloss over this. And it's like, oh, yeah, they broke through a roof. Like, that happens every day. I think it's good to illustrate these things out sometimes. I'm sure you'll agree. So even though these four guys are absolutely exhausted, by the time they get to this house, they've done all the digging through the roof and they finally get Tim down at the feet of Jesus, into the presence of Jesus. And you know what? They've accomplished what they set out to do. See, it took Will, our leader, that morning to come up with the audacity to say, you know what? Jesus is in town. He's just a couple of streets away. I know where he is. And my mate needs a touch from Jesus. So I'm not going to care about the obstacles. I'm going to do whatever I can do in my power to get my friend Tim into the presence of Jesus. And that's what they did. No matter what the cost, they got him into the presence of God. And I'd love to extend this a little bit further because I want to, in a moment, give a round of applause to some people here tonight who need to be commended for just getting yourselves here into the presence of God. See, there's some people in this room who have had such difficult weeks, and you could use any excuse under the sun as to why you couldn't come here tonight and gather with like-minded believers. But by hook or by crook, you got yourself here. Why? Because you need a touch from Jesus and you believe in Jesus. Come on, yeah, let's put our hands together for these people. No matter the obstacles of the week, no matter the hardships or the troubles or whatever you went through during the week, well done. Well done for just getting yourself here. I believe right now that God is just going to touch you for your faith, for your obedience, for your discipline, just to keep pushing through. You know what? I'm going to get to church. I'm going to get to church. Yeah, it's snowing outside. It's like winter out there now, but I'm going to get to church. Why? Because I want to gather with like-minded brothers and sisters and get into the presence of God. There's nothing like it. Nothing like the presence of God. Don't get me started on the presence of God. It's awesome. Presence of God. So in our story, we now get up to verse 5. So again, imagine this paralyzed man is now laying at the feet of Jesus. And this verse is incredible because verse 5, we can just put that up on the screens again, that'd be great. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the four men, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Wow. You see, Jesus healed this man based on the faith of these four men. This paralytic man was carried by faith. And that's our message title tonight for those of you taking notes. Carried by faith. Yeah, this man was literally carried by these four men, but he was also carried by faith. More importantly, he was carried by faith. There's some faith in the room tonight, I know. Carried by faith. There's something about being carried. Cast your mind back many, many years. Does anyone still have like a little memory in the back of your head? Maybe when you were a little kid, and you can kind of just remember this. I can just remember this, where you might have been out as a family at night and you come home late and you've kind of fallen asleep in the back of the car and you can kind of vaguely remember your mum picking you up out of the car, carrying you into your bedroom and lovingly putting you down into your bed. How good was that when you were just carried from the car into your bed? Didn't matter about your PJs. Didn't matter about your shoes still being on. You were just carried. I can still remember that. Maybe some of you, how cool was this? Maybe some of you can remember being carried on top of your dad's shoulders. Hey, that was fun up there because you thought you were the tallest man or woman in the world. You're on top of the world up there. I'm on dad's shoulders. This is cool. It's a great memory to have. Carried. There's something about being carried. Little Archer, our four-month-old. I talk about him all the time now in sermons because it's so easy with illustrations, isn't it? How good's that? He's an absolute little dude. He's 4 months old. He's now learning how to play, which is a lot of fun because as soon as dad gets home, he just wants to play and then dad gets in trouble for revving him up too much before bedtime. But it's all part of it. It's okay. But he thinks that life is so cruisy right now. He thinks that he can fly. Because if he wants to go from one room to the next room, he just gets carried by mum, by dad, by anyone. He just gets carried. If it's time, he's getting a bit tired, it's time for him to go to sleep. Doesn't have to do it himself. He just gets carried, he gets wrapped up, and he gets put down in his bed. If it's time for milkshakes, if he wants a milkshake, he gets carried over there and has his shake. What a life. Carried. Carried. Too much? That's what we call it at home. He's on, it's okay. It's okay. He's on the bottle and he loves it. Sorry, too much. Hey, it's church. We're okay. We're all family. This is family time. Carried. This man was carried literally, but he was also carried by faith. You know, these guys had such an active faith. They didn't just talk about faith. They actually outworked their faith actively. Their faith had legs. You know, their faith allowed them to persevere when opposition came their way. Their faith allowed them to persevere even when it would have been so easy to turn around. When they saw the crowd crammed into Jesus' house, they could have thought to themselves, man, there's no way we could get in there. This is too hard. But their faith just pushed them to persevere a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. I love the fact that the faith of these four men made room for a miracle. Literally made room for a miracle. I love that. I want to challenge every single one of us. What are we doing in our lives to make room for a miracle? To allow that miraculous power of Jesus to flow regularly into our lives. It costs these guys something. It may cost us something. We need to have faith to believe that, hey, we also can make room for a miracle in our lives. The other thing I felt to say just on this point is that when we're talking about this miracle that happened in Jesus' house, I love the fact, just go with me for a minute, that this miracle still occurred even though unbelief was present in the room. You know, sometimes I think we get a bit scared about unbelief. Come on, faith is so much bigger than any underlying unbelief. Now, why do I say there was unbelief in the room? Because there was Pharisees in the room. Did that do anything to the power of God? No. The power of God is so much stronger, it can bust through unbelief. The Pharisees are there trying to pick things apart with what Jesus is saying. They're trying to contradict what Jesus is saying. Doesn't matter. The miracle power of God is so much greater than any unbelief, anything that this world is trying to dish up. Come on. When we make room for a miracle, don't worry about where our mind goes. You know what I'm talking about. My mind's, it's just crazy sometimes. It's like, oh, you know, my own strength. No, I don't think I can do that. Oh, no, kind of. Come on. The power of God is so much greater than any unbelief I've got in my head. Any unbelief that you, if you're hanging out for a miracle in your life right now, I don't care if you've got unbelief, because the power of God, Jesus, the name above every other name, is so much more powerful than any little thought process you've got on going on in your head. Amen? It's true. Jesus proves this. The Pharisees were there, and yet the miracle still took place. Created room, created space. How amazing when we just create space for God. Oh, that we might have more space in our lives. Space to allow the miraculous to flow in us and through us. Lord, I just pray over every single one of us right now. Lord, give us more space. Give us more room for the miraculous. Lord, give us margin. Give us boundaries in our lives. Lord, forgive us when we've been so tuned in to the noise of the world. Lord, forgive us when we've allowed the clutter of society to dominate our thought life and our relationship with you. Lord, give us space. Give us space to hear you, to see you, to walk with you. Lord, give us space. As we just create space, Lord, I thank you that you've unblocked some spiritual ears right now. Ears to hear your voice, your promptings. The beauty of space. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that right now you are carrying us in your arms of love, arms of grace. Lord, let us feel again what it's like to be carried by our Father. Not a care in the world as we picked up by you. Secure in your arms. Lightly floating. Not a weight on us. Because we're carried by you. As we've just allowed some space. Just created some room for you to be dad and us to be your children. Nothing more, nothing less. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. It's amazing, isn't it, church, when we just make room, just create some space. It's very simple, but why don't we do it? I'm guilty. We get so consumed by more and more and more and more in this world, where maybe God's actually calling us to just do less. Thank you, Lord. Carried by him. I pray that each and every one of us is carried by him this week in all we do. But we'll just start to wrap up by saying this, that As great as it is to be carried through life, I believe that each and every one of us as born again Christians, we've got Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. I believe that we are also called to be carriers of other people. It's not enough just to be carried yourself all the time, but we actually got to go past that. We actually have to be strong enough to say, you know what, I'm going to be a carrier of others. And we're going to spend the last few moments just doing that right now. And there's many ways practically that we can carry other people in their faith. But one of the greatest ways I believe that we can carry others is through the power of prayer. Through the power of prayer. And if you allow me to just do this for a couple of minutes, it's not going to take long, but I would love us to again get a little practical tonight. I think it's good when we've seen this illustration up here. I don't want to be up here just giving a talk or a spiel. I want us to all walk away with something practical that we can do this week. Is that okay? So what I'm going to ask us to do in a minute, and I'll explain this and I'll talk us all through it, but I would love us to, just as these guys were a group of four up here, I would love us to break into groups of four in just a moment, and I'm going to talk us through what we're going to do in there. And what I'd love, really I'd love this tonight, is to try and find some people that we don't know as well. So rather than just turning to the couple of people around you that you know and you talk to every single week, I'd love even all our leaders along the front couple of rows here, all of our Connect group leaders, I'd love you guys in just a moment to get out of your seats, to walk maybe to the opposite side of the auditorium and get together with three other people that you don't really know. You might have seen them, but you don't really know. So we're relying on our leaders to get busy tonight. Leaders, is that okay? We can do this. And what we're going to do, I'm going to give you 1 minute to quickly introduce yourselves. You don't have to give your whole life story, but just, hi, my name's Jacob. Great to meet you guys tonight. And what we're going to do as a group of four is we're going to decide upon one person to carry by prayer into the presence of God. Now, because we're all going to be carriers tonight, we're not carrying anyone in this room, okay? So in your group of four, there's going to be one leader and they're going to facilitate this. And as a group, you're going to decide upon one person that's not here tonight, but they're in our worlds, they're in our family, they're in our jobs, they're anywhere. And they need a touch from God right now. You might have someone in your family that needs a healing touch right now. As a group of four, you're going to pray for that person and usher them into the presence of God. Does that make sense? It might be someone in your workplace that you know just needs salvation. They need to meet Jesus. Their name's Jody, and we're going to say, hey, Jody, we're going to carry you into the presence of God by prayer. Does that make sense? Are we cool? All right, so I'm going to give you about a minute or so to get out of your seats and meet with four or three other people. So we want groups of four, all right? I want to get all these people on the front row moving around the auditorium. Oh, I probably will, yeah. Sorry, I forgot to say that. Is that all right? Yeah. Maybe just you guys can be a four up here. Just maybe get some of the band. All right, we're just going to quickly find our four. I know this is going to get messy, but it's all right. We're going to be okay. So in our group of four, we're introducing ourselves. And then one of you I know has got someone that we need to carry into the presence of God. So we're going to call just one person per group. We're going to decide upon that. All right, so we've introduced ourselves. And every single group is going to have one person that we are praying for. All right. Can I just have a show of hands? If you have got your person in your group that you're praying for, can you just lift up your hand so I can see? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Couple of groups still to go. Just choose one person that we're going to carry into the presence of God. Fantastic. All right. All right, now we've all got someone. And if I can just get your attention again, guys, just for a moment. We'll just stop our conversations just for now. I want every single one of us just to close our eyes in this room. Everyone, close your eyes. Close your eyes. And we're going to focus on this person, even if you don't know who it is. We focus on this person, whatever their name is. I want you to visualize yourself literally bending down. They're lying on a stretcher on the ground, literally bending down, picking them up as if you're about to carry them into the presence of God. Just visualize yourself doing that. That person on the stretcher may be looking up at you. They may see compassion in your eyes. They may see a fervor. They may see your faith shining through. And they want you to literally, in your mind, literally carry that person now to the feet of Jesus, into the presence of God. What does that look like for you? Carry that person in your mind. Carry that person until we now arrive in the presence of God. And as a group, can I encourage you now to start praying for that person? We're unified tonight in our faith. We're all ministers in this room. We're all co-laborers with Christ. We can all pray. They don't have to be long-winded prayers, but short prayers. So let's just start to pray for our person now in our groups. We bring that person into the presence of God. We can see it. We believe it. Let's lift our voice in prayer right now. We believe by faith, Lord, that you can touch these people. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're not worried by any unbelief in the room. As your power is here, we pray, we press in, we persevere tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pray to you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. So many people in the presence of God right now. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your power in this room. Thank you that people are coming to Jesus. We believe in the power of prayer. It's powerful. It's effective. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just give you another 30 seconds if we start to wrap up our prayers. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your healing touch. Lord, I thank you for breakthroughs in the room. Lord, we thank you for restoration. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. If we just start to wrap up our prayers now. Lord, we just thank you for the faith. Lord, we thank you that we can talk to you in prayer. Lord, I thank you that your ears are open tonight to hear every single prayer that was prayed out aloud in our groups. Lord, I thank you that you hear every single prayer that was prayed in our hearts tonight as well. So Lord, we thank you. We just speak the name of Jesus right now over every single person, over every single situation. Lord, I thank you for your power. I thank you for your presence. Right now, we are believing for breakthrough in Jesus' name. Right now, we believe by faith that change has occurred in these people. Right now, we believe by faith for testimony upon testimony upon testimony. Lord, I thank you for the fruit that has been established in this room tonight through the power of prayer. Lord, as your children get together and pray and press in and persevere and believe by faith that we can make a change, that we can carry these people into your presence. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that we have made room tonight for a miracle in these people's lives. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Yeah, put your hands together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, church, the ending of this story is incredible. We're almost done, I promise. We're almost done. I just want to read out one more scripture for us. The ending is amazing. Verse 12, it says, "The man got up and took his mat and walked out in full view of them all." He'd been miraculously healed. It says, "This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" Come on, when we get into the presence of God and the miraculous is flowing, there's only one thing to do. One thing to do out of a response of our hearts is to praise our God. I know you just sat down, but I'm going to get you to stand once more, and the band is going to lead us in this song of praise, of declaration. Oh, praise the name of our Lord. Amen. Come on, let's sing this tonight. Oh, praise.
Thank you, Lord.